O Lord, we come to you through this blessing called prayer. You give hope to the abandoned. You give peace to the conflicted. You give joy to the disappointed. You give love to the unwanted. And so we give you our worship. We give you our allegiance. We give you our devotion. We pray, Lord, for endurance. We pray, Lord, for perseverance. We pray, Lord, for resilience. In Jesus' name, amen. Can you smell that? Well, of course you can. You're watching me through your TV screens, your tablets, on your phones, and there's no way you can smell what I smell as I drink this cup of coffee. But trust me, the smell that I am smelling right now is wonderful. It's outstanding. It's a strong aromatic smell. I'm drinking a cup of it's called Blueberry Crumble Coffee. It's made by a company called Shule, a coffee company out of Michigan. I used to buy this coffee at the general store, Anderson's. A few years ago, that store went out of business. But I always loved going into the general store, and they had this aisle that was just all coffee. And just the smells of that coffee. And I remember the first time I laid my eyes on this blueberry crumble brew, and I bought a bag of coffee, and it's been my favorite coffee ever since. Even though I can't buy it at the store, I can go online now and order, and I ordered by the 5-pound bag. But this coffee, it tastes great, and it smells wonderful. I wish I could have maybe prepared for each of you at home a scratch and sniff card. I don't know if you all remember, years ago, when I was a kid, there was this movie event that came on TV where you could go to the store, you could buy scratch and sniff cards, and you watch this movie. And as the movie is playing, it would display a number on the screen, and you scratch the card and you smell. And so they were trying to create a smell-o-vision. Well, I didn't have enough foresight to send you all scratch and sniff cards. But trust me when I tell you that this cup of coffee smells wonderful. Most of you can appreciate the power of smell. I say most because I know someone near and dear to my heart, my mother-in-law. She doesn't have the sense of smell. But most of us have the sense of smell, and we can appreciate the power of something that smells really good or something that smells really bad. I mean, something that smells good, like the smell of a fresh baked bread in a bakery. The smell of your significant other's cologne or perfume. But man, there's some smells that are bad. You ever been near a skunk that just sprayed, that pungent odor? Smells are powerful. I'm sure that I shared this story with you years ago of a dream I had. My father passed away. It's been about 17 years. It's been 17 years. Will be 17 years in December. And I remember years later, I dreamed that I was in my father's bedroom. My father wasn't in a dream, but in his bedroom was this tall dresser. And I remember as a kid, I used to sneak in his room, and I would go and stand on something, get up there, and I would go in his dresser drawer, and I would play around with things in there. And there were all the things in my dream, all the things that I remember playing with in his dresser. There were some cufflinks, and there was one of those old-fashioned wooden rulers, you know, the ones that fold out along. But the thing that struck me most was there was a smell. And in the dream, I smelled the smell, and it reminded me of my father. And I remember waking up from that dream, just crying, just, you know, one of those moments where, man, I just miss my father. But isn't that interesting how powerful a smell, what a smell can do, how that conjured up such deep, deep emotion. I don't know how I smelled that in the dream, but it was something that I will never forget. Smells are powerful. I don't have a lot of things from my dad. You know, I don't have a lot of items or antiques or items that he left to me. There's one thing that I have in my bathroom, and it's an old cologne bottle of my dad's. It's empty, but it's a cologne that my dad used to wear. And I know you may think I'm weird for this, but there are times that I'll pick up that cologne bottle and just take a smell. And it just reminds me of my dad. You can still smell the scent from this bottle, even though it's empty. Smell is powerful. So what I want you to do for a moment is I want you to reflect on the power of smell. And I want you to consider this statement that was written by the Apostle Paul. It was first written to the church at Corinth. I want you to focus on this phrase. We are the aroma of Christ. We are the aroma of Christ. I'm going to read a passage from 2 Corinthians chapter 2, starting at verse number 14. And Paul writes, "But thanks be to God, who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession and through us spreads in every place the fragrance that comes from knowing him. For we are the aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To the one, a fragrance from death to death. To the other, a fragrance from life to life. Who is sufficient for these things? For we are not peddlers of God's word like so many, but in Christ we speak as persons of sincerity, as persons sent from God and standing in his presence." We are continuing a series entitled We Are. I want us to lean into our identity, some of these phrases and identification markers that we find throughout Scripture. I want to thank Brother Dr. Jeff Garrett for bringing the message last week on We Are the Temple. Paul writes that phrase in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, referring to our individual bodies and our individual lives, and it's important to see ourselves, our identity, that our bodies individually, we are the temple of Christ. This is a temple. This is God's temple full of the Holy Spirit. So it's important that we take care of it as God's temple. But Paul also writes this about the church as a community. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 19 or 16, Paul writes this, "Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? If anyone destroy God's temple, God will destroy that person, for God's temple is holy and you are that temple." And the "you" in chapter 3 and verse number 16 is plural. So Paul is talking to the church community, the church as a collective. Not only are we to see that our individual bodies serve as hosts for the Holy Spirit, the body as a collective serves as a host of the living Holy Spirit. Temple language is utilized throughout the New Testament, the Bible, and is used throughout the language used given to the early Christians. It was employed by early Christian writers attempting to convey the message of God to early followers. These writers were attempting to shape the early Christian community into God's vision for his people and their interaction with the world. The temple in the Old Testament and the tabernacle before the temple was a structure that existed in the life of early Israel as a representation of God's presence. The tabernacle was the place where God dwelled. Another way of looking at this is that the tabernacle or the temple was the place where heaven and earth met. It was the place where the holy and the ordinary intersected. And it was a phenomenon that the holy God was insistent on giving his people a representation of his proximity, his nearness to his people. That is to say that God is here. He is here in this place. Where you go, God goes. Where you settle, I settle, God says. Where you move, God moves with you. And in the midst of the community of God, heaven and earth seemed to meet. In essence, the meaning of temple or tabernacle means the meeting place. I believe Jeff referred to John chapter 1 verse 14 last week. That's the text where it says the Word became flesh. Earlier, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And verse number 14 says the Word became flesh, and it dwelt among us. And that word "dwelt" is the word tabernacle. When Jesus came to earth, he brought heaven with him. Thus heaven and earth met. When you pray, Jesus says, pray this: our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Heaven and earth meets. Again, this is the idea of temple or tabernacle. It is the idea of demonstrating and expressing God's presence here on earth. Now, with that context, we come to this identity that Paul lays out to the Corinthian church, speaking of his own ministry, but surely suggesting it as an identity for all of Jesus' followers to embrace. He says, we are the aroma of Christ. This is temple and tabernacle language. The idea of aroma conjures up the memory of ancient people offering sacrifices to God, where God says, this is coming up as a sweet savor, a sweet aroma to me. These sacrifices would be described as sweet and pleasant to God. Having discussed briefly the power of smell, we can appreciate how smells and aromas impact us. Think about the way a nice aromatic fragrance makes you feel. I mean, look at this picture here. Isn't that how you look when you smell something that's pleasant, that smells good? Contrast that with something that's a foul odor and how that makes you feel. Would you look something like this? Those who lived in ancient communities with open sewers would certainly hear Paul's words about aroma and know the difference between a sweet, fragrant aroma and a foul, pungent odor. They would recognize those differences. Using that metaphor, how often do we consider what face the world makes when they encounter us? Do our lives conjure up sweet-smelling aromas or foul and rot-smelling odors? Are we living as the temple and tabernacle on earth, offering up the sweet smells that emanate from the phenomenon of heaven meeting earth? Christians are often accused of being the moral police with our ready and vigorous calling out of other people's sins, but how often do we simply represent the beauty of God, that sweet aroma? Have you ever heard of thin spaces or thin places? Thin spaces, thin places, it's an idea that is very popular in Celtic Christianity, Irish Briefly, thin spaces are locations where all seems where it seems that heaven and earth they collapse together and they seem to overlap. If you're in photography, you take pictures and you may take pictures of these landscapes and you see sort of this overlapping of the sky and the earth. That's a thin space. Consider this pic here of a landscape, and as you look at it, it's hard to tell where the sky ends or the earth begins. It's a thin space. In Celtic tradition, Christians would often seek out these spaces as a way to encounter the transcendent God. It's not just a physical or nature thing either. Those of us who have experienced the birth of a child, being in the delivery room when my children were born represented, it was a thin space. It was a place and an instance where it seemed like heaven and earth collapsed on one another. I felt God's presence in that room as I watched that miracle of birth. When Kira, my youngest, was born over at St. Anne's Hospital in Westerville, when the doctors pulled her out of my wife's stomach, all the medical staff, the doctors and the nurses, they all yelled in unison, "Another little miracle." It's a thin space. By being the aroma of Christ, we are offering a thin space for the world. It might seem like a daunting task, but this is our identity in Christ. This is our role as Jesus followers to offer to the world thin space. As many are trying to find beauty in the middle of a pandemic, during an election year, during social unrest, and during racial tension, those are the things that make you go, they give you the ugly face. It's a foul odor most of the time. Christians ought to provide in that realm thin spaces so that we might cause folks to react like pleasant, sweet aroma. This is not a call to live into an identity where we don't speak truth or we compromise our beliefs. That's not what I'm saying. That's not what Paul is saying. This is not about appeasing people. It's about giving off the aroma of Christ. There is no way to give off this aroma unless we are intentional about living in Christ, growing closer to Christ, and committing our lives to living as disciples of Christ. That is doing what Christ does, saying what Christ says, and loving the way Christ loves. Our fragrance is one that is determined by our reception and experience in the life of Christ. And it doesn't take an expert to deduce that if you live a life let's say, for example, a shepherd who is around sheep, eventually they will smell like sheep. If you go to Hershey, Pennsylvania, that's where they make, you know, chocolate bars and Snickers and Mars bars and all those wonderful chocolate delicacies. If you go to the town of Hershey, you'll see that the town is full of cocoa silos. And guess what? The town smells like chocolate. If you spend time with Christ, if you live deeply into a life with Christ, you will begin to smell like the aroma of Christ. And prayerfully, hopefully, if you spend time around Christians who have devoted their lives to the life of Christ, dedicated their lives to being transformed by Christ, and spend their lives emulating Christ, then those Christians will They will smell like Christ. They will look like Christ. They will love like Christ. They will pray like Christ. They will forgive like Christ. They will serve like Christ. They will have compassion like Christ. They will fight for justice like Christ. They will tend to the poor like Christ. They will preach the good news about the kingdom of God just like Christ. Whether we like it or not, we will give off a fragrance. I just hope and pray that the fragrance we give off is the fragrance of the sweet, savory aroma of Jesus Christ our Lord. That's what it all comes down to. Being the very representation of God's movement in the world in the name of Christ. Doesn't matter how well you sing the worship songs we sing. It matters if you live the songs that we sing. It doesn't matter how well you read the Bible. It matters if you live the words that you read. Do our lives represent a thin space, a space where we, by the mercies of God, present our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is our spiritual worship? Will we be the aroma of Christ, where we are imitators of God as his beloved children, and we live in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God? Will we be the aroma of Christ, where we, through Christ, will continually offer a sacrifice of praise to God? That is the fruit of our lips that confess his name. Will we be the aroma of Christ, not by our own power or our own might, knowing that we are not competent of ourselves to claim anything as coming from us? Our competence is from God, who has made us competent to be ministers of a new covenant, not of a letter, but of spirit, for the letter kills, but the spirit gives life. We are the aroma of Christ. So may we, as the body of Christ, emit the very fragrance of Christ, his sacrificial love. May we be that thin space that represents the intersection of heaven and earth. That's God's dwelling here on earth. I want to close this morning by sharing some news that is both good news and bad news for me and for many of you. When you hear it, it's going to be bad news, but for them, good news. Charles and Deborah Townsville have been members of this church for a very long time. I have grown very close to them when we hosted a small group. The Townsills were part of our small group. Thus, a close intimacy grew between our families. Deborah, I have shared on many occasions, is one of the biggest encouragers that one could have in their life. I don't know that there's not many days that go by that Deborah does not send a text early in the morning to my wife and I, just wishing us a happy day and sharing maybe a scripture or a blessing. That's what she has been in our lives. She's been the aroma in our life. Charles and Deborah Townsville will be moving to Florida. And I think they're making preparations as we speak to transition and to move to Florida. I can't imagine how this is going to impact people here. I recently became friends with a guy who's a staff member at Hannah Ashton, the school that Deborah Townsend worked at. And I remember just asking him one day, hey, do you know Deborah Townsend? And immediately his face lit up and he just started smiling. He said, man, Deborah is just one of those people that no matter what type of day you're having, no matter how bad it gets, she always knows what to say or do to just brighten a room, to brighten a place. And I just know that there are so many other people who have that same testimony. You see, Deborah has committed her life that in every circumstance and every atmosphere to be the aroma of Christ. As the Townsends move to Florida, I have no doubt that they are going to be bringing a sweet aroma to the Sunshine State. I know that as long as I have text messaging, the Townsends will continue to be the aroma of Christ in my life. So I want us to be in prayer for the Townsends and to wish them Godspeed as they move. And I want to thank you, Deborah, for being the aroma of Christ in so many adults' lives and the lives of many children. And I have no doubt that you're going to be the aroma for many others. And I hope and pray that this becomes the commentary of our lives. When people speak to us, I pray that they will speak of us as being sweet aroma, that they will speak of us as being ones that bring that sweet, fragrant smell to life. That when we walk in the room, people look pleasant and not like this. I want to pray for us. I want to pray that we will be that fragrant aroma of Christ. I want to pray for you that you will commit to living into the life of Christ so that you will be the aroma of Christ. If there is any way that we can pray for you in addition to what I'm going to pray here shortly, please feel free to share with us how we can pray for you. If there's a way that we can be instrumental in you and your walk with Christ and your walk with God, we want to be a church family, a church body. We want to be a thin space. We want to help you to see and to experience that intersection where heaven and earth meet. Let's pray. Holy God in heaven, we thank you for your dwelling here with us. Father, you have been for since the beginning of time, intending to come near to us and to dwell with us. You have not desired to be a God who lives afar on a lofty mountain where we can't reach you. You have come to us first, demonstrating this intention in tabernacle and temple, this thin space where heaven and earth meets. And then in the form of Jesus Christ, when the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. God, now your Holy Spirit lives here with us. And as we live in this intersection where heaven and earth meets, God, we now have this fragrant smell, this aroma of Christ. God, I pray that we would take this identity seriously, especially during this time right now where there's chaos and confusion and where there's hurt and there's pain and there's vehement disagreements, there's disunity, there's disconnection. God, right now I pray that the body of Christ would be known for our fragrant smell of Christ, that we would be the aroma of Christ, that people would first see our identity in Christ before they see our race or our culture, that they would see our identity in Christ before they see our political affiliation, that they would see our identity in Christ before they see what nation we live in, that they would see our identity in Christ before they see anything else. May we live fully into this identity, the fragrant smell, the aroma of Christ. God, I also pray for my friends, Charles and Debra, as they transition to Florida. God, be with them, bless them. And I already know that they are going to bless those to whom they will live close to, work with, worship with. God, be a blessing to this church that we would take very, very serious our call to be the aroma of Christ. And we know that we will do that through your power, not any power of our own, not any competence of our own, but through your power, the power of your Holy Spirit. God, we love you, and we continue to worship you, our Lord, our God, and our way maker. In Jesus' name, amen.